The following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Put your name on it. Just put your name on it. That's all I say. Be a man or a woman. Put your name on it.
Well, I'd like to hear about it, pothead.
Look at the game change.
If you want a battle, it's either that you will or you won't.
You know, you're not a bad-looking man, Mr. Gals.
But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair.
Bullshit. You didn't convince me. Let me see your real war face.
No, I thought you said that you are right, Spider.
Hey, man!
What is it now?
Barbuska.
It's not Babushka.
It's not Babushka.
It's not Babush. I thought he was Thomas Babush. It's Uncle JJ. Hey, bring the car around.
Enough with the bread already now. Enough. Stop giving him bread.
He's training.
Well, your name's Thomas, though. Be a rep guy, not a max guy. Okay? When you're lifting.
No, I'm a...
Buddy, you good?
I'm a max guy.
I thought that was him just now. You're a max guy?
I'm a max guy.
I was a max guy once.
I've been a max guy since I'm 4.
What's your max?
279.
I disapprove of this humor.
The show The Mick was one of the most fun times I've had. Like, it was crazy fun. And being single camera, usually it just takes... all day and forever, which obviously it does for you. But as a guest star, it's almost like it's like cheating. You just come in for 2 days, like, woohoo! You shoot everybody out, and then you shoot the lights out, and you go home like Yosemite Sam. Have you been – you must have done a lot of, like, guest star stuff when you were younger.
Yeah.
Like, what stuff did you do?
I worked on a show called What Hot American Summer, first day of camp. And that was, like, my first really big, like, guest star recurring role. And that was a miniseries. So we did 8 episodes of that, and I did 8 of it. And it was short days, it was really funny, we got everything done.
There's 8 episodes total.
Yeah. Oh, no. We did a month.
I was going to say, I think somebody got over it. Yeah.
But it was
8
short
episodes,
days.
I did all 8. They called me a guest star.
But it's a miniseries, so it's different. And it was really fun. You just come in, you do what you gotta do, they love it, and then that's the day.
How old were you when you did that?
11.
How can you, like, separate reality and, like, being a Jersey guy, how can you separate reality, maybe it's because you're a Jersey guy, like, reality from Hollywood fantasy, goofy phoniness at 11 years old? Like, that's a really important age. For a young lady.
I got a...
Oh, Thomas. Right? Young man.
I got mi madre and my papa.
Latinos, right? Yeah, they love it. Showbiz. I can't stop the nice with you. Sorry. Hold on.
Yeah.
So, please, like at 11 years old, how can you differentiate? Because this town's like a bunch of phony sharks.
Right. You just gotta stay grounded, and you have to, you know, a lot of the people out here are, you know, not real. A lot of people out here have a lot of fake personalities, and you just gotta, you know, keep an open mind and keep a close circle of friends. And like I said, when you have parents that have been through a lot, then it kind of helps.
Do you think being from New Jersey helps?
Yeah, in a way. Yeah, because I grew up around a lot of the, you know, hard-knock East Coast people.
You're from Tom's River?
Yes.
Do you remember what made you laugh the hardest on set that
what?
I did?
What?
First of all, you're 14, we're filming a strip club. And there's just, like, jiggling gals everywhere. And I was, not my cup of tea, period. And then there was something, you kept saying something to me in the strip club where I'm supposed to be your dad, and then... My words, I go, I asked you a question, you go, are you asking me? And I go, yes. And then one take, I just went, yeah. And you burst out laughing because I did one syllable of dice. Yeah. And you were gone.
Yeah.
And then I was gone. So I'm talking about like having to navigate like what's real, what's not real. I'm like, all right, I have to like really stop doing jokes. I'm like, I might get this kid fired.
It reminds me so much of home and so much of my uncles and everybody like that. And then we have you come on set and it literally feels like we've known each other for years. Like you are like an uncle.
So yeah, yeah.
Like that, yeah. So like,
you're the sweetest.
That was like the hardest week for me because it was just so like real and funny, and it felt like, as I said, like he was a family member, and I felt like I was like literally working with an uncle because it was the way of his acting was. It was literally identical to like my uncle, like one of my uncles. So that was like the hardest week. That's the most I ever laughed, like ever.
You know, it's amazing when I auditioned. I got this new agent, and I said, I will audition for, you know, like, bubblegum commercials. I don't care. Like, I can't. I don't have the luxury of pride at this point. And so I went to audition for the Mick, and the casting directors, I've met her a thousand. She's just wonderful.
Yeah, Julie.
And, yeah. And it was literally, like, every Italian guy that goes to, like, Jerry's Deli in the Valley on like, Friday night at midnight, like, did you see Frankie Black? How's he doing? Is he doing all right? You know, I'm at the Sportsman Lodge where I do my songs. I was like, what am I doing here? What? This is amazing. Like, I was the only guy there with, like, blonde hair. Then Bobby Slayton, the comedian, walked out. I know Bobby. He's like, what the hell are we doing? But, you know, we're headliners. Who are these guys? And he, like, SH-talked everybody in the room so badly that I felt bad. There was, like, an actual transvestite left in a bra and panties, like, in full, like, in this Julie's, like, she's the glassiest. I'm hoping they're also casting something else. And then I saw this comedian, Brian Posehn, and then Jeffrey Ross was in the sign-in sheet. I'm like, I'm looking around the room.
What?
Like,
Jeff Ross was in the sign-in
sheet. I'm like, they don't know what they want at all. Like, this is all right. So I went out in the parking lot, and I complained to my agent, which I'm good at, like, I don't know what's going on. Yeah. I took a picture of the waiting room and blacked out people's eyes using, like, how you sketch on a screen grab.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's how I spent my time. Instead of practicing the words, I'm like, no, what? Like, this isn't even a man or a woman. Like, what is this? And this guy's actually a policeman, and he's just in on break. And some guy asked me, Jay, you ready? I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. And I just got to audition and play. Like, it was written so well, and I'm so glad I got it. So you guys made me feel at home. But that audition was one of the more circus auditions I've ever been on in my life.
Yeah, I can imagine.
How?
Everybody was there.
You know who was there?
Huh.
Yeah! Dice! Uncle Andrew! I'll run the strip club! Yeah. What are pasties? Just use the Rice Krispies I gave you. Dude, that was your auditioning for the Mick.
I bombed. It was horrible. So, well, what happened was is the...
Because you're not very talented.
I'm not. I suck.
You got a red... Watch your mouth. You got red hair. You walk with an odd limp. You're like Laura from Glass Menagerie. It's like, didn't really explain what the limp is, and we can't figure out what the problem is. It just makes me loathe touching limbs. So, gentlemen, call us. Get up off the floor. Stop looking at the glass animals.
Nah, my audition was horrible. I went in.
Did they know you were coming from one hot American summer? This
here's the thing. Personal? They wrote the character with Drew from Wet Hot American Summer, which is the character I played. With Drew from Wet Hot American Summer and the character I played in that Geico commercial. Like, they kind of written it with me in mind.
You gotta really specify that you weren't, like, the lizard. I don't remember a human in any Geico commercial.
I was not the lizard.
I know
Peter
you
Pan.
Weren't.
I was Peter Pan in the Geico commercial.
Oh, my gosh.
And
you're adorable.
And, like, in those, like, really douchey characters I was playing, that's how they wrote Chip. Like, they were thinking of that in mind.
No.
And
so you were, like, you played, like, mean guys? Like a snarky.
In the last year, I've played mostly mean guy.
I'm telling you, it follows you around. People like think I'm Rutger Hauer. Like, who's a guy that could really ruin everything? So that's great, because now you get the... All right, so I'm going to stop interrupting.
So listen, I go in. Impossible. I completely bombed. I didn't know one line. I kept looking down at the paper. I wasn't nervous. I just, like, was mad at myself and the audition that I was so unprepared. And then I came in a second time. Somehow I got a call back. I don't know. I came in the second time, and I made sure I was completely prepared and well. And then they liked it. And then we booked it, and we all, you know, had a meeting afterwards.
We all?
Me, Dave Chernin, John Chernin, and Caitlin. We all just kind of sat in a room and talked to each other and got to know each other a little bit.
Caitlin's got some gravity, man.
She's great.
She's amazing. When I saw the show, I never saw the show when I auditioned for it.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I love this show. I'm so happy to be here.
He's lying.
You know, his lips are moving. And then when I actually saw the episode I was on, it was the first time I'd ever seen the Mick. Because when you look, look, all right, let's not break balls. When you look at a photo album, you only care about the pages where you're in the pictures.
Right.
You know, like, hey, this is my Uncle Jim when he had his mustache phase. Wow. Like, no, it's like, here's me at the beach. Look at my legs. They're big, right? You know, you don't look at, like, photos. So no, I had never seen it. So
right.
I was going to go retroactively.
Plus, you're a busy guy.
Yeah. Running the strip club.
Yeah.
It's amazing. When I'm working, I'm not as busy. When I'm not working, I think it's like the illusion of everything's fine. I just dig holes all over town and read by the light of burning bridges. Why were you not prepared the first time you went in?
Was it here in LA? I had just gotten off a flight. I didn't know it.
You had 5 hours to prepare.
But I didn't have the script on the flight. If I had the script on the flight, Jay, don't you think I would have read
it? It would be an assumption. you didn't bring it with you, or you landed and they went, oh, here's your ride. They're taking you right to Fox.
Exactly.
No.
No, but it was the next day.
Exactly.
No. No, but I don't know what it was. I just couldn't get it down. And then when I got there,
bomb. Do you remember what you were in front of Julie Taylor?
No, it was in front of the producers and the writers and Julie Asham.
Taylor.
Who's Judy Taylor?
I have no idea. Probably a dirty actor. I mean, somebody was in, like, you know, the ice. Somebody dirty, like the ice storm, like they were in the dirt.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of a Civil War movie.
They live in dirt, yeah.
What were the lines in your audition?
It was the pilot scene. It was the pilot scene where I'm giving a toast.
Do you remember that toast?
No.
Come on, man.
I don't remember it. If I did it, it was a full-blown performance. I could not.
Full blown, I get nervous. Full blown, what now? Oh, poor kid. So you don't remember the toast scene?
Don't remember. It was so long ago.
So what? I remember all my lines from almost.
I remember it being like, I'm Chip Pemberton, I live right up there. That's all I remember.
Wow, how'd you not remember that?
I told
that
you.
That was some crafty and tricky writing.
I just remembered it.
That was like a Rubik's Cube of dialogue. Name, location. Good night. I'm sorry, I don't know my lines. I just got off an airplane. Thanks for coming, everybody. Stop. I'm Chip Pemberton. I live right over there. Here.
Scene.
True car, if you're looking for an automobile, my friend Thomas doesn't drive yet. So when he does, though, he'll have, I hope in 2 years you'll have money for a vehicle. Otherwise, something horrible has happened. Your mom has hoarded all of your cash and rerouted it to the Raritan Water Authority project.
Yeah.
Outside of Rutgers. Invest all your money in Sunny.
How do you just come up with this stuff?
I have a problem. Invested all your TV money in Sunny's and Ricky's at Seaside Heights Ski Ball Institute for Blind People. You just feel it out where the 50 is. True car is what you want to do. That's how I got my vehicle.
Oh.
And that's fancy vehicle or car.
Yeah.
And they have,
or vehicular.
Vehicular travel is the way to go once you're of vehicular traveling age. And let me tell you something. True car users on average save over $3,000 off MSRP. $3,000, that's a lot of scratch.
That is.
That's more than It's about yay. That's guest star on the Mick ish. I'll tell you that, and I can just get that again. It's by buying an automobile again. Pay it again. Pre-owned vehicles. That's the way I do it. I never did that before in my life. But if you get a car with like 100 miles on it, bango, you get the nice price drop there. True car users, you're going to be happy, friends. And I put my name on this. You get certified true car users. They are blanketing the country. They look for the car that you want on your terms. Save time, save money. You never overpay. This is the way to do it. This is the future right here. It's true car. So, Thomas, your sister's an actress too, and I don't – she's not here to defend herself.
Right.
But she did say you fart when you pee.
Oh. She said this to you?
No, I just made that up, but your response was very telling. Thank you for playing. Who's your favorite Muppet? Sesame Street all the way out to the Muppet Show.
Your favorite Muppet?
No, I said – Maurice or Barry Gibb? Yeah, who's your favorite Muppet?
Kermit. How is that a
front man?
How is that a question?
Because it's a question mark in the end. It's who is your favorite? Because I'm asking you which of all those puppets you enjoy the most. So by asking you, it's a question.
Right.
Why are your lips so chapped? You smoking crack? Yeah. That Thomas kid from the Mick, Corey.
Yes.
He's on that glass dick. He's on that pipe, you know? Norm MacDonald.
I don't know why they're chapped.
But look, maybe.
Kermit the Frog.
All right. You know, I could do a perfect Kermit.
I wish I can. I doubt it. Do it. I know.
All right, I need a situation and a scenario.
Okay, you're in your living room.
Bring those in your room, buddy. Bring those in your room, would you? This is my job right now. He's how daddy makes make-believe money before he makes the real money.
You're in a living room, and the TV's on, and you don't like the TV show that's on.
More stories, 3737@gmail.com, and they go, of all the impressions you do the most, I love, remember this, Corey, was in the summer, I love Mob Boss Kermit the best.
Yeah.
And I called Corey, I go, I've never done, I never did it.
Yeah.
And I had no idea, and then I was like, I started doing it as I was walking the dogs, and I went, oh, my God.
So good.
Right away, Jimmy, getting fucking fresh. Ruin my party. Now go get your shine box.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Keep them here. Mutt. Whole family of rats. Mm-hmm. Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here. Here I am at the house of a rat.
I just popped my ears.
Oh.
Now it's better.
Okay. I'm in the living room. I don't see anybody here, but I'd like to know why the fucking television is on and so loud. And who is watching Celebrity Fit Club? How can you be 70?
What?
Kermit the Frog and Reservoir Dogs.
Joe, I don't know what you think you know, but he's a good kid. He was shot in the gut. It's my fault he shot in the
Reservoir
gut.
Reservoir Dogs.
Put the goddamn, if you shoot that man, you die next.
What? What's going on right now?
Yeah, I'm doing Kermit, and I just was doing different movies because the living room scenario didn't really intrigue me.
Well, no, it was a TV show that you're not supposed to like.
Yeah, Celebrity Fit Club. Did I lose that?
I was expecting you to, like, lose it.
Well, there's a six-year-old walking around, and I already said,
go get your fucking chime box.
More stories, 30, what's your favorite movie, like, of all time? Not comedy or just any?
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction?
Mm-hmm. I like it because...
You shot Marvin in the face.
Oh, my God.
I like it because...
It's a great movie.
Wow.
Do you know why it's a great movie?
How is that a question?
I'm asking you, do you know why it's a great movie?
Who's your favorite Muppet? How is that a question? How is that a question? No, yeah, I know many reasons. I think it's a great movie. Why do you think it's a great movie?
I think it's a great movie for many reasons.
I don't care how old you are, but if you were 6 months older, I'd slap you in the neck right now, okay? If you were just a little bit taller, I'd kick you right in your face for your attitude.
It's a fantastic.
All right, Kermit the Frog is Winston Wolf.
Oh, God.
It's a 22-minute drive. I'll be there in 18. Let's not start sucking each other's moves just yet, gentlemen. Okay.
Did you make this cut? All right.
It's good that you remember that word for word.
I don't really. It's the illusion, Thomas. What I do is I just commit. So, like, if I don't know my lines on the set, I will ad lib, and sometimes in character I'll go, I know these are not the lines, but the spirit's the same, right? It just lets the writers know, like, I'm not even close in the ballpark. So the Mick, I couldn't believe how great this show visually looked, how funny it was. The cast is perfect. It's almost like the 93 Knicks. There's no way they should be going to the finals with, like, John, like, there's one shooter. Like, John Starkton and, like, four, like, car thieves. Like, these guys put the ball into a mall if the doors were taken off of it. Like, Oakley and Mason. Like, these guys were, like, just, like, all power forwards. But your show, like, Caitlin and other people. It's so funny. Like, how do you know the difference between – I'm really asking you this.
Yeah.
Between, like, you're doing a Geico commercial, you're doing one crazy song, whatever the long title is. Yeah. That could just call it Thornbirds. It's a miniseries.
Don't watch that.
Do you know – how soon in do you know I'm on something really special? Because it's a feeling that I would say most people in this town never allow in.
I knew the first day we were on set because everything just clicked immediately. And a lot of shows, they don't click immediately, and there's a lot of problems with the cast, and there's a lot of problems. People can't find their role. Like, a lot of people don't know their role, and a lot of people get mad if, you know, they're not getting as many storylines as this character, But we all of us don't really care about that. All of us just care about making a good show.
Yeah.
Really, realistically. And we just want to have fun. And Caitlin's, you know, Caitlin's like our quarterback, and she's leading us through the way.
It's also, I don't know if you know how rare it is that there's a lady writer, showrunner, actress, producer, and then day to day being right there on top of everything.
Yeah.
And for there, sadly, for there not to be horrible disharmony and discourse, because it's a real misogynistic, it's a horribly misogynist world.
Right.
And show business is, like, one of the most misogynist worlds. So that shows Caitlin's power, but it's a power that was earned, almost like how the water of the ocean will, like, erode rock and, like, cut through, like, Topanga Canyon and Malibu Canyon. Like, that gentility, she's untouchable. Like, she's one of the most important people I've ever met in my life.
Yeah. Very powerful.
Have you ever seen her cry?
I've never seen her cry once, ever.
That was a nice soliloquy. Mr. Smith goes to Washington. What's the point? I don't know. She just—it's rare. Sadly, it's rare to see a show because here's what usually happens, Tom. So I'm being serious.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I mean, you're very smart. Like, you're so far ahead of anybody of any age as far as emotional intelligence in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a woman who creates a show, the Chernins are incredibly powerful guys. They will begin to nitpick and rewrite and just sort of slide and erode until the woman loses, like, her will to hand in scripts. And it doesn't happen over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating. And the gal that wrote the show that I was on, I forget her name, but I would just go to her for notes, and I realized I'm about to isolate the Chernins by walking past them to go to the writer. They were the coolest. The Chernins were the coolest. I guess what I'm doing is I'm letting the audience know this show is more successful than they think, the audience, because it's you guys really do love each other.
Yeah.
And it's great. Email me morestories3737@gmail.com. Listen to my Lakers podcast, America's Lakers podcast. It's the official podcast of the LA Lakers, my man. You like the Lakers?
I love the Lakers.
You're a Knick?
I'm a Knick.
Are you a Piston?
No, I'm not a bandwagon Piston.
What? Who's a bandwagon Piston?
Blake Griffin just got traded there.
Just because you are redheaded
what is this?
Doesn't mean you have to follow a black redheaded guy around the country like, come on out and see the real live Blake Griffin, friends. A real live black man with red hair. It's 1940s. Where did he come from? He's exotic, you know.
Jackie Robinson, all black ball players, leads them in doubles with four.
Oh my God.
He's been in the major leagues for 2 months, leads all black ball players with home runs with two.
You know, I guess they went when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in baseball. Like, mm-hmm. Like,
coming out to the ballpark. Jackie Robinson, the all-time black baseball player, leader in home runs with seven.
He finished like over 350. So like as he went, they're like, it's remarkable. He's just like you and me. But there's nothing common about Jackie Robinson at all. So the person writing the article was showing how ignorant we are as folks. Thomas Babuska. Julie Lamp emails me, morestories3737@gmail.com. And I like to say emailed the show. Hi, Julie. She says, hey, JJ, just a quick note from a loyal listener, Murrier. I just bought a book on psychology of chakras and a new Wi-Fi router.
I bet, right?
For the home after using jmoore.com Amazon banner. So if you go to like jmoore.com where it says Amazon, if you click that link, it takes you to Amazon. And it doesn't cost you anything, but I get a kickback, you know, on the above board, on the table. Amazon wants to know where the traffic comes from, and it's all direct deposit to Trash Truck's college fund over there.
Awesome.
Julie writes, as always, thanks for all the joy you bring to your listeners through your podcasts. Hope all is well with you and yours. Life your life, brother. Sincerely. Julie Lamb, that made me so happy.
Life she's from your life, brother.
Louisville, Kentucky, or as they say, Louisville. You know, on the Jets. Bilal Powell. Bilal's from Louisville. Louisville. Life Your Life is what Adam Ray said in the podcast. Him and Joey McIntyre do a show on, I don't know, like the Logo Network, something gay, like a Logo Network or something. Mm. Joey McIntyre from New Kids on the Block. And they're on a New Kids on the Block tour and just like hammered. 40-year-olds like, I'll wait for Donnie. I'm going to life my life. That's
what I'm going to life my life.
Hashtag life my life. Your mom has a very different opinion of how your audition process went.
Listen, all I know is I bombed.
Debo, did he said he went straight to producers.
Went straight to producers.
That's what I just said, yeah. How do you deal with it?
And they thought he did a great job, but they thought he was even better than... They thought he can do even better, so
then
they asked
did.
Me to come back in, and he did.
So he didn't bomb.
No.
But I felt like I bombed.
That's what nobody can argue with, how you feel.
Exactly, right, that's what I'm getting at.
I mean, he got pinned right away, as soon as he came out of the room.
Was he wearing a singlet? No, like Pinterest?
And you pinned
the wall. How to spot a narcissist. I pinned it on my wall, on my board.
As soon as he pinned the date in me. He got in the car, we got an email that he was pinned.
Does that mean like save the day?
Pinned for the role. No,
pinned for the role.
I'm honestly not.
That means that it's between you and another kid, basically.
Oh, I thought like it was just you. Okay.
No. If he was like 10th, he got pinned at the top.
Yeah. I said, all right.
Okay. All right, JJ.
What's your entrance music? You walk down the street in Barnegat, New Jersey, and we know Thomas Babuska's coming because I'm like, oh, here he comes!
What song is it?
Yeah, if you anything. I believe I asked you this on set, and I tried to get you to answer it.
I was probably laughing too hard.
Yeah. He dabbles in it.
Probably,
You know, like WWF, old school, here he comes! We can hear his music coming!
They do the dance, the crowd goes crazy.
Yeah. What's your favorite song, buddy? My six-year-old probably knows this.
What is it?
If any song could play when you walked into a room, like they go, oh, here comes Meredith Daniel, listen to the music, he's coming! What music would it be, you think?
It would be... Run the Jewels.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's a great song. You know,
he's the best.
It would probably be...
Gangsta hip hop. Like, I pull up to school, it's like, at the world, that's where the pimp! I'm like, right. Oops.
Windows open. If I had to, yeah, if my entrance music was anything, it'd probably be Ward Pretty Flaco Jordy by A$AP Rocky.
I don't know what you just said. What fucking moon language is that? I just saw a bunch of syllables and A$AP Rocky, which isn't a rap name. It's A$AP Rocky.
A$AP Rocky.
It's A-S-A-P Rocky.
It's A$AP Rocky.
Well, I call him A-S-A-P Rocky.
It's A$AP Rocky with a dollar sign.
I know. But what's the name of the song?
Ward Pretty Flocka Jody.
Lord Pretty Flacco Jody.
Yeah.
Things a salad would say. Things a Kardashian would date. what Blake Griffin wears under his underpants. Lord Pretty Flacco Jody. That's that Rocky song. So you think the Pistons are a bandwagon team because Blake Griffin's on it?
I think people are going to bandwagon to that team because Blake Griffin's there now.
I think you're highly overestimating how much anybody gives a shit about anything Clippers or Blake Griffin. It's okay. Better he hears it from me. Don't worry.
No, it's good. But did anybody... Listen. Did anybody care about the Cavs before LeBron?
I know your point, and it's a good one.
Yeah.
Cleveland, obsessively and exclusively, outside of Ohio, no.
Right.
You're right, but Blake Griffin's not LeBron.
Blake Griffin's not a LeBron type player.
Nobody loves the Warriors because of Kevin Durant.
Well, because of Curry and Baron Davis and all that.
Baron Davis?
Yeah.
Man.
That's where it started.
Yeah.
And then it went down.
What about Rick Barry?
Him too. Everybody loved his free throw shot.
What part did you audition for not get that you were certain you had? You're like, man, I murdered that audition. That was great.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Feeling good about an audition?
I usually feel pretty good. There's only one audition I just felt horrible about, and it was the Mick. Even though I did do good in it, I didn't feel I did good. But in every audition I've ever been on, I felt pretty confident about.
I like that, because you're prepared. Do you bring the sides in with you when you audition? Why do you do that?
For some reason, with me, I feel like I have to have them just in case, because I'd rather look down at the paper than...
In case you're not prepared.
In case I'm not prepared. In case I lose it in my head and be like, oh, can I go back?
Why would you not be prepared? You've had 2 weeks to learn.
I'm always prepared. But
there's
always going to be a part of me that's going to forget something.
You're not wrong, by the way. Most, I would say 90% of people that audition hold the sides.
Mm.
And I'm in the minority where I go in like I'm shooting the scene that day.
Yeah.
Because if it's my job, it's my job.
Right.
But those people have way higher batting averages than me. So this last, the Tim Doyle project, Corey, yesterday I went in and I had the sides. It was the first time. And I'm like, look at Corey. And I'm like, oh, this is easy. I can just look down. Right. But I'm used to like obsessive. I found old notebooks of mine and I had written out the dialogue. And when I made a mistake, I started over. I'm like, oh, that's why I work so much. Because I prepared like a crazy loon person from Bayville. The Pineys. They lived there in the wintertime. They ain't right.
there's a lot of different ways
to go about it. Why does Caitlin hit you?
Hit me?
Why does Caitlin hit you?
Because I hear that I'm a bad boy, but that's for another time.
Okay.
I feel like it's different for a lot of people. And a lot of people have their own ways about doing it. But I feel like if you're going to look down at the paper, you should make it a part of the scene somehow.
That's like, really good advice, man. Like, that's really good advice. I don't know why. You think I'm breaking your balls. That's really great advice. Like, if I have to look at my watch on stage doing stand-up.
Visit to New York.
Hey, everybody. Corey's phone's possessed and decided to play Al Michaels. It's the fourth quarter. I've been drinking five shillabit asses. That was Rogers. Scooches away from the rush and almost gets shagged. I'm being serious. That's a really good note that you just gave and will probably help a lot of actors. And that's, if you're going to look at the sides, it has to be part of the scene.
Right.
I think that's great. Like, when I look at my watch on stage, somebody once said to me, prostitute and comedian, two jobs you can't get caught looking at your watch. I can't feel like you don't want to be here or it ruins the whole thing.
Right.
Like, if a comic looks at his watch, it's like, you got somewhere you need to be? You know, I work at an auto shop, dick. Like, maybe don't look at your watch.
Yeah.
So I'll go, my son gets up at, like, even if it's just the area of time, I'll go, my son wakes up at, like, and I'll look at my watch and go, I don't know, here, whatever time. And then I can even go, I don't know, I just looked at my watch to tell you when my son woke up. Like, there's so many,
you can make it a part of your thing. Also, even when you're in a scene, you're doing your actions. If it's a big scene, too, and you're throwing your arms in the air, you always throw your arms in the air with the paper in here and take a glance at the paper.
I don't know. Well, yeah, that's a skeet shooter.
Pull!
I got it. I like your first idea better.
Well, let's just pretend like I never said what I just said. So you like. So you,
but then I don't get the skeet shooter joke.
We don't need the skate shooter joke. I've heard better.
Like in the audition for the Tim Doyle thing, it's like a dad. Like auditioning for dads is great because all of a sudden the lines you get to say are like really like powerfully gentle and beautiful. Like you're Jackie Gleason, like, that's not the way it's going to go in this house. I'm proud of you, son. I scratch the earth for a living. I want my boys to reach for the stars. It's like, Jesus, these are beautiful words. But it's a rocket takes off. It's like the 70s. And he goes, there she goes, the, I forget the exact, MCG-2 rocket, and he's, the dad's like a grease monkey, like he makes like the parts in the shop, and so I looked at his watch, we're running a little behind, and I just picked up the papers, like I had like an atlas for like a farmer's almanac. I go, we're running 2 minutes behind, like I did exactly what you said.
Make it a part of your thing.
What do you think the biggest mistake somebody can make in an audition?
There's a lot, obviously.
Top 15.
I don't know. On some projects, I've realized this is different with me because to everyone, I always shake people's hands. But I remember sometimes younger when I was going in, people wouldn't want to shake your hand because of a big germ thing, which I never got.
Whatever. I have a dirty thing I could tell you, but your mom and your publicist are here. Thanks for rolling in with the whole crew. Like Wu-Tang walks in.
Obviously.
You act on a sitcom. You don't need this entourage with you. Goodness, what are you, Brandy?
I love your smile.
That's not Brandy, but... I would say the biggest mistake is not stopping if you don't like the way it started. Like, you just kind of keep going in this wonky, like, bullshit angle of trajectory. And the whole time you're like, this isn't how I want to do it.
Right.
And being able to go, you know what, I'm going to start over because I don't like how that was going.
Right.
You've done
it. You should always give yourself a... I always was embarrassed when I did it, but then you think about it, you're like, why would you be embarrassed if you're only trying to better what you just did?
That's good advice, man. You ever read David Mamet, True and False?
No.
I read that book once a week. He says when you know, he wrote Glengarry Glen Ross and Put That Coffee Down. Coffee's for closers only. He wrote Speed the Plow. He's brilliant. And he wrote a book about acting, but I've given it to like CEOs, friends of mine that are like, see, he said, when you go into an audition, you have to know that everyone in that room is your moral and intellectual inferior because one day they tried to do what you are doing and they took the desk. So look them in the eye, stand up straight, and say the words as best you can, and next time say them better.
Yeah. That's perfect.
Like, you guys are bums. You move scenery at SUNY Farmingdale, and you're like, I'm scared! So then you become like an assistant to an agent, and then you're in like some casting office reading shittily with like, oh no, I'm terrified. And then you have to act opposite them. That's why Julie's great, because she's really good. She always has great people that read with her. So nobody knows yet that the mix canceled, so this is a big announcement.
Oh.
However, you knew, and that's why you're here on the More Stories podcast.
Right.
No, that show's going to run for a very long time.
Hope so.
They keep costs down, fire your sister. What do you think is the most confusing thing that you would never be able to explain in 11-year-old Thomas Zabuska?
That it's a business and nothing's personal, usually.
But you
like, for instance, like, you don't get a job. It's been, like, when I was younger, I get what you're saying before about you ever had an audition, wonder why you didn't get it. You busted your ass trying to do it. But, like, looking back at younger me, you have to realize that it's not a business, nothing's personal. Like, for instance, when you don't get a job, it's not because you're not a great actor. It's because maybe this was wrong and this was wrong. Because that's what I always thought when I was younger. I was like, oh, how come I didn't book that? I worked my ass off. I did such a great job. They said I did such a great job. I was pinned for it. You know, I was on hold for it. How come I didn't get it? Oh, because he doesn't match with Jay Moore, the guy who's playing the dad. Oh, he doesn't.
But you actually thought you were not good enough as
right.
well?
Younger, yeah.
And that's a bad rabbit hole to start going down.
And it's tough. And that's why you have to convince yourself early on, it's just a business and nothing's personal, or it's not even your acting. You wouldn't be there if your acting was bad.
You're really wise, my man.
Thank you.
I would always say, if you don't get it, it's not personal. If you get it, it's entirely personal.
Right.
If you get it, it's personal. If you don't get it, like you'd be amazed how little they think of you.
At all. Yeah.
They're not like, he wasn't very good. It's just you walk in the door and they go, nope, before you open your mouth.
Yeah.
We really hoping it was a Puerto Rican guy.
They know the second you walk in the room.
And then that's also in David Mamet's book is, yeah, if you're auditioning, they don't want you. They already have an offer out. You're an impediment. So all you can do is go into that audition and cause a problem for them. Like, do it so well that they go, now, like, Jerry Maguire, there was an offer out to Owen Wilson for Bob Sugar because him and James Brooks had done Bottle Rocket together. I didn't know that. Otherwise, I would have blown my own audition. And then when I went in, it was a problem. They had to rescind his offer.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until much later.
Yeah.
Yeah, you talk exactly more than right. me, please. We're going to have to, like, stack this podcast where, like, your words come up top.
No, that's exactly right. They know who they want, and you just have to go in there and make a problem. That's exactly right.
Yeah. I'm just now remembering your Geico commercials. You were, like, a real, like, shitty, like, like, the opposite of what we think of as Peter Pan. Peter Pan. Like, a boy. Is Peter Pan androgynous? Would you say it's, like, a boy girl? It's just definitely a boy. I'm being serious, because I'm always confused by it.
It's definitely a boy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A lot of girls play Peter Pan, my man.
A lot of girls do.
Sandy Duncan, Julia Roberts, right? She was in Mystic Pizza.
I would say that Peter Pan is definitely a boy. Even, but...
And a toy. I love you. I'm going insane with happiness. I'm thinking of Pinocchio. I'm talking with Peter Pan. He's not a toy.
He's a toy.
Favorite Muppet is Kermit.
Don't ever ask me about my business, Kay. And who put the goddamn television on? And why are we watching Real Housewives in the dirty?
All right, so the Mick is on Tuesdays?
Tuesday is 9:30.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I had the most fun on that show, and I'm going back for your finale.
Yeah.
I play your dad, and I kept calling you Chet. You're like, that's a great set. Like, that wasn't in the script. I said actually said Chet by mistake, and I go, and I went right to Caitlin, and I go, it's like really funny. My own son corrects me, and I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
And she just goes with it. It's great.
Yeah.
Funniest guy on earth is Scott MacArthur. Like, Jimmy is... I was powerless over him. And his ad-libs, he's like Todd Stashwick, where you're like, oh, wow, I'm in orbit now. Like, I have to keep up.
Wow.
Yeah. He got hot soup on his nuts in that episode.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen him smoke marijuana?
No.
Who is most likely to become president of the United States on the cast of The Mick?
Sophia.
Really?
Yeah.
I had Caitlin pinned for that answer.
Caitlin too.
Don't say she's too old. You can't say that about women.
No, I'm not saying.
Don't say that about women.
I'm saying that.
They get offended.
Listen, she's got two beautiful kids to worry about.
Who's that now? That's good for the campaign. I'm a working mom. I know the struggle.
That's
the girl vote.
Sophia.
Chicks.
So I think Sophia would love to take over.
She don't talk. She walks around in bell bottoms with tight lips. She don't say nothing. Her mouth don't open. I never heard her say a word. What's her stance on?
I don't know.
When was the last time she said to you, can you believe this injustice? I'm asking you a question.
I don't want to get into it. Politics is not my thing.
I'm not asking you about politics.
But then
would
I would
country?
Be speaking on another person talking about politics.
All right, well, I'm going to go. I'm putting my money. We both pick women. I'm not picking Jimmy. He'll run this country right into a ditch. But it'll be funny.
We'll all get thrown into ceiling fans.
I love that. I love the show The Mick. And everybody out there, I put my name on this. If you haven't seen The Mick, like, just DVR, season pass, write the network emails. You know, in the old days, one handwritten letter, equaled 10,000 people. Like, if you wrote a newsroom, like, I don't like that news anchor's, like, hair or suit or attitude, or I think she's talking to me, one letter was 10,000 people was the analytics they made up. So if you email the network Fox and say, if you guys ever cancel The Mick, I'm going to castrate myself in my garage with a Poland weed eater and some turpentine.
Yeah.
Then that'll help.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what turpentine is out here.
It's such a jersey. Get the paint off your hands. Why do we have so much paint on our hands?
I don't know. It's a thing. There's always paint. There's always paint on your clothes. Every single t-shirt you wear.
Clothes. And ghost riding your bike.
Everybody has boots that they have paint all over.
Yes.
Usually, preferably a white paint.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa, look at Mr. Sparkle Purple. What are you doing? You're doing this room. And did you ever ghost ride your bike? You just hop off the back and let a car hit it?
No.
Nothing was of that value. I said this, I was in Arlington, Virginia Saturday night. I said, I own homes, plural. Mm. I've had millions of dollars that I've given to a woman that said I do twice. I've given away fortune, Rolex, watches, cars, nothing in my life. I'm almost 50. Nothing has ever had the value of my BMX bike.
Yeah.
When I was 11 and I left it on the front yard overnight,
yeah.
And when I woke up, I went, thank God nobody stole it.
Right. Well, so put it away. Do you remember the three-wheelers, the big wheelers, the big wheels?
Yeah.
Every single day, I remember going outside. Everybody on my block would have their big wheels out, their BMX bike, everything. Nobody out here. I've never seen it once. I never have driven down a block and seen a bunch of kids playing outside.
Yeah.
You're right. And I don't know why that is. I also think as I get older, I've noticed this, the quote-unquote neighborhoods, like, I don't talk to my neighbors. My neighbors in Jersey run the De La Valles and the Urinos. They're on top of us. Like, they could just look into your yard. Like, but they mind their own business, though. Don't get me wrong. But here, it's like, I know exactly what you're talking about. If my guy wants to go to the park, I have to drive him to a park. I have to coordinate with other parents. Like, are they going to be there?
Yeah.
If me and you went to the park and our parents were there, they were shit-faced. Like, your dad's holding, like, a case over his shoulder, like a boombox. Like, keep riding the ball, Thomas! Like, we're hiding. We were in the jungle gym, but we just had that cement, like, thing of cheese. That, like, was like a folded piece of cheese with a hole in it.
Yeah.
That was what we played on.
Right.
This kid's got mats.
Well, we used to have that. But then, in, like, the second grade, they opened this huge park where they had the ropes and the big things.
Go on.
Ropes
and big things. The ropes, small things.
Big things.
You described a zoo.
I used to do this thing where I used to leap over a fence, like a fake, like it was like a fake fence that kids would have to leap over, you know, to get to the other side of the park. That's what I would do.
But did you pretend you were like in the A team? Like, what was the, that was my go-to.
I thought I was Mr. T.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Did you really?
Yeah.
All right. Because we would do the goat. My go-to was the A-team on my bike. On our bikes, like, dun, 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 dun. We'd go through town like we were the A-team.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
And what was the go-to show? Because you're so much younger than me. I don't know.
No, I thought I was. I was huge into WWE, so I thought I was like Jeff Hardy. I always wanted to be Jeff Hardy when I was younger.
I thought I was Ed Hardy.
Yeah?
I was just a douchebag in a t-shirt. You guys want to fight? I'm a max guy. Like you. 279, huh?
279.
Respectful, man.
Yeah.
Thomas, I think you're just... You are one of the most talented people I've met in my life, and I've been here for good since 96. And I told Corey that. How was work? Oh, my God. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And when you laugh, just because I went, yeah! Ain't you mad?
Don't forget when you said you smell like bread.
I did say that?
Yeah.
To whom?
To one of the strippers.
I used whom correctly.
Yeah. You said, You said, get out of here, you smell like bread.
That's really funny.
That was great.
I didn't know I said that. I'm glad you just said it. Because it was like, I couldn't believe the dialogue I was getting away with. And it was uncomfortable for me to yell at a woman, let alone scream.
Yeah.
Like, you stink. That cake tray you call an ass. So I just instead would go, like in the audition about your sister, I would, Sophia, I'd go, I've never seen this, like, B-I-T-C-H in my life. And I'm like, I'm not saying, she plays a teenager.
Yeah.
So in the audition, I go, I've never seen, and I said to the show, I've never seen this gal before in my life. Coming out to the ballpark, step on it. Don't mock the women. Blake Griffin, real live black red-headed man. He's exotic, friends. Watch out for that Ishiro. Can't trust him. I'm not. Hey, Thomas, I want you to say your first, last name, like it's Monday Night Football, and make up any college you want position. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
You don't?
I understand what you're getting at, but how do they sound when they do?
Forget it.
All right, forget
you know, sometimes all right. you just play to have fun.
Listen, I don't play to have fun.
You want me to promote something here? Well, what can I promote for you, honey bunny? Don't do anything I want. I'm running around with Kermit the Frogs.
I want one thing.
What kind of question is that?
Can I tell you one thing I want from you?
Wait, why? You haven't done anything I wanted you to do. I'm asking you to go, Jay Moore, inside linebacker, Rutgers University. I know I got a southern accent in New Brunswick.
I'll do it after this.
It doesn't interest me.
Listen, listen. You still haven't followed me on Twitter. It's... Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
Put your name on it.
Yeah. 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 Who the jiggy nigga with the gold links? Got me reminiscing about my old days. 3-6 sucker nigga dick, no foreplay. All day booming out the trap through the hallway. Tell me what you niggas know about. Auntie saying turn it down, or she finna call the cops. We been plotting on the opps. She the one who got the drop. Just a freak.